This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good afternoon to all of us. Good afternoon. It's nice to see all of you. For those joining us on Facebook, it's nice to join us even as we worship today. I want to welcome you if you are joining us for the first time or you are even joining us as regular. But you're welcome into the house of the Lord. And we want to take a song. And if you don't mind, would you rise with me for us to take our opening song? Then we take the announcement. Song, we want to declare the name of the Lord. The Bible says that at the mention of the name of the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And so if I want you to join me and let's lift up the name of the Lord. Are you with me?
At your name, the mountain shakes and crumbles. At your name, oceans roll and tumble. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise.
We will praise you, Jesus, you are.
endless praise, endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. Feel the shadows deepen, we do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all, me? We do. It's all creation groaning. It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah who conquered the grave. Is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave? Is he worthy? Blessing and honor and glory, is he worthy? Oh, yeah. Does the Father truly love us? He does. Let the Spirit move. Does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those who love us? Does our God intend to dwell again? He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of a blessing and honor and
to join us. and let's proclaim He's worthy.
He's worthy. He's worthy of all blessing and honor and glory. He's worthy. He's worthy of all blessing and honor and glory. He's worthy of them. Yeah.
Jesus, what a wonderful, wonderful special time in your presence, Lord God. What a wonderful opportunity to glorify the name of the King of Kings, Lord God. What a wonderful special opportunity to give you honor and glory, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for just bringing us into this moment where we can allow your peace to cover our hearts and our souls and our whole being, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I thank you for stirring in me an earnest and special desire this today to pray for some people, to pray for someone that has this week experienced or that has felt a tragedy, something that they really wrenched their heart, something that touched their heart so deep that they can't believe that this is true, that this is part of their reality. And with all, if you had an experience like that this week, where you just felt so sad about this life and the situation, would you raise your hand? And this morning we want to cover those that raised their hands. There's someone here in the front. If you can raise your hand, And if I can ask for people to surround us, to surround them, look for someone that's hand is raised, and would you surround that person? We're just going to spend a moment or two in prayer, because we are going to cover each other in these dark moments. And if you feel that you want to have prayer, please raise your hand. Please raise your hand. Let us pray for them. Let us pray for them. Let us cover them as brothers and sisters, as this family. We cover each other in our times of weakness, in our times of sorrow. Oh God, we thank you for this wonderful, special moment to come to you with our hearts raw, with our emotions raw, Lord God. We thank you that you invite us with that raw emotion into your presence to come and to be healed and to be encouraged and to be strengthened. Thank you, Jesus, for your cross. Thank you, Jesus, for your cross. It means that we are not, we can have a hope and a future, God. We can have a hope and a future. Thank you that your blessings are renewed every day, Lord God. And that we can stir our hearts. We can awake a day, each and every day. We can find the joy that you bring. And Lord God, we pray for these special people, that you would open up their hearts and fill it with an unimaginable amount of joy and hope for their future and for the future of this nation and this world, Lord God. And that we again pick up this responsibility of shining the light and being the light. Amen. Welcome to take your seat. Thank you so much, band. It looks like the children have already gone to the children's church. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Some of you might not know me. It's your first time, or you haven't seen me regularly. My name is Christopher Steeg, and I join you all the way from Eindhoven. So it's a bit far, but we really love this church. We're really passionate about Shofar, and that's why we really make an effort to spend time with Derek and Renee and this wonderful family. Really great to see everybody here. And welcome to our Sunday evening sermon. All right. And I want to speak about family. If you know me at all, I'm very passionate about family and about legacy. And I've done previous sermon series about hope, and we're gonna start now to look into our impact and our purpose and our calling into leaving a legacy and building a legacy. And I'm a family guy. I've got 3 kids. They're also at the back, and I've got a wife. Hello, and my parents are visiting from South Africa. They're at the back. So really welcome. my father-in-law is also a minister. I think sometimes you experience a spiritual blessing that just gets like a double blessing, and we really are blessed, father and mother, for the spiritual foundation that you've provided in our life, and I want to honor you for that and for your prayers, my mother. It's really special to be able to stand here feeling overwhelmed and blessed by how God has provided for us and how God has carried us through some really tough times. We all come out of Corona. We're enjoying the sunshine. We're enjoying the summer and no restrictions. So I hope everybody is feeling better and really excited about doing life and going about and enjoying nature. Also passionate about nature. And today I want to bring us back to family and to speak about your role in the family. And I have I compare it to ingredients in a meal, and saying that you are the main ingredient in this meal, this godly family. And I want to start with the story of Jacob. Please turn with me to Genesis 25. And we're going to read short snippets from Genesis 25, and we're going to look at the life of Jacob. The life of Jacob. He's one of the three patriarchs of our faith, Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob. And he had a twin brother, Esau. They were twins, but Esau came out first. So he was, for all practical reasons, the firstborn of of the two siblings. But Jacob showed us some really interesting character traits when we read in character in Genesis 25, verses 29 to 31. Let us start there. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. And he was really hungry. He was a hunter. And he went out and he pursued game, and he was out for days trying to catch these animals and to bring it back to provide for his family. And Jacob was preparing a very nice, and it's, of course, I think it smelled good. He had some really nice ingredients in there, and I'm sure it tasted incredible. Esau was so hungry. Jacob said, wait, before you can eat this, I would like to have you to give me your birthright. The birthright was in those days, it meant that you get a double portion of the inheritance from his father. It was actually very profound. And to sell that inheritance for some soup, it showed some of a character trait of Esau, but also showed us, and what I would like to speak about, was Jacob's intentionality or his passion for the family legacy. We continue and we read Genesis 27, verse 19. Jacob said to his father, "Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." As his father was dying, he knew that it was time for the father to impart a blessing. He already has pursued the birthright, but now we look at this pursuit of a blessing that the father gives. That blessing was quite profound. If you read it in the word, it meant that his whatever he lays his hand to will be prosperous, and his flocks will increase, and he will be really prosperous in the land. There would be rain, and it's an arid, dry season. It's an arid, dry country, but that blessing meant that God would provide for him sustenance for his animals, and that he would experience that grow. Jacob wanted that blessing, and he even went and disguised himself as Esau by covering his skin. He wasn't as hairy as Esau, but he covered himself with goat skin, and he was presenting himself as Esau. And then his father blessed him because he thought it was Esau. And then in Genesis 28, verse 20, we read that Jacob pursued the spiritual legacy from Abraham and Isaac that came through, that God has revealed to Abraham and Isaac. And he said in Genesis 28, verse 20, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey so that I return safely, then the Lord will be my God." Jacob knew God. He honored God, and he left a spiritual legacy that we experience as Christians today through the Jewish nation, where Jesus came, and then subsequently through the salvation that we can proclaim, profess, and accept in our lives. He pursued the blessing that come from a family. He searched for a wife by going off to a far country. He worked 14 years for his wives and for his family. He moved his family to ensure that they keep on prospering. And then later, when we read the story of Joseph, he moved his family in order to provide or to for the family to survive. For me, he is an example of a person intentionally looking to build his family and his legacy, and someone pursuing a godly foundation to be the source of this family's strength and purpose. I also see that Jacob, he's an example for me of action. We see that he takes action. He's not passively allowing his brother to take the birthright or the blessing, or just for because after he took the birthright, the blessing from his brother was furious, and he took action. He said, "Whoa, I have to move away, because otherwise I'm going to get into serious trouble." So I see him as a model of action, and this action I would like to propose is what we need when we are looking and building our family, our own families. We need to take action. Passive family is not something that just passively happens to us. It's something that requires action. So, we're looking to God's word to learn what are the strategic steps we can take to have a blessed family. And if the faith and actions of one man such as Jacob had such a profound impact on a nation, what is the impact that we can have on our family? What is the impact that you can have on this dish as the main ingredients? Are you going to bring sweet taste or a wonderful taste and a wonderful aroma, or are you leaving a bitter taste and a bad aroma in this family. Can I pray for us today? Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can allow you to come and to show us your way through your word. You can show us your purpose for our family, and you can show us the part that we play in creating and building this family and helping it to prosper, Lord God, and helping it to leave a legacy. We know, Lord God, that we have presuppositions. We have ideas already formulated about what a family is, what a family should be. We have our homes that we come from that shaped our idea of family. Lord God, but this today we lay down these ideas. We lay down these preconceptions, these predefined, predetermined ways that we want to do family. And we lay it at your feet, Jesus, to allow us to show us your way for us and for our families. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. So, to talk about family, I have to explain two key concepts. Two keys that I use in my family that has helped us to weather storms and navigate difficult seas and keep on growing and keep on building. And the two words that you will hear me speak about is intentionally and a godly foundation. Intentionality. Intentionality was a new word. I only learned about it later, but it's a very powerful word. And it's very much the same as being goal-orientated. I want to achieve this. I want to have this for my family. I want to see this happen in my life. You have to look out for your family, right? Some of us need to search for a wife. The Bible speaks of he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So some of us need to be searching for a wife. You need to be intentional about it. It's something that requires action. And there's also a powerful story in the Bible of the 10 virgins. Some of them had prepared additional oil because the wait might be long, and some of them didn't. And some of us need to be intentional about preparing for that moment where something's going to happen. And if we're not prepared for that, then the opportunity is going to miss us. So we need to be intentional about what is our dreams for that, you know, that moment, that something profound will happen in our life. And if we miss that moment, it goes by. But if we can spend time and prepare for that moment, we can grab that opportunity. It also touches on our relationships. Once you are in a relationship, are you courting each other? Are you actually pursuing a journey together to find out if you can be lifelong partners in a marriage? For mothers, if you are going to be a mother someday, you need to keep your body healthy and fit. You're going to carry another human being for 9 months. It's important to know that this responsibility is going to come to you, and you have to be intentional about it and keep yourself fit and ready for that. And fathers, in those moments where your wife gives birth, they are vulnerable. And when they are weaning a child, they are vulnerable. And we have to be ready to support the mother. As a priest, you intercede for her. As a prophet, you encourage her. And as a king, you protect her. And how does that sound, ladies? To have a husband like that, to stand over you and to intercede for you. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's wonderful. It's really wonderful to see God's plan being established in our lives. And he is sharing with us in his word the things that's going to happen. And he's showing us the way, but we need to be intentional about preparing for those situations. The second key is the foundation. You want to build your house on the rock. Jesus is that rock. You want your foundation to be solid. You want to know the truth. You want to have a clear understanding of God's truth and of God's word. God speaks that of my nation is destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And personally, I had to learn, I had to gain knowledge about conflict resolution and communication. And it's a testimony I can share. My wife is here. And we started of our courting process, finding each other. We started dating in 2001, way back when we just got into first year's camp at university. And we dated for 4 years. One of our biggest struggles were conflict resolution. I just didn't know how to respond, handle, or resolve a situation where there's conflict. I didn't have that experience in my, I didn't have those tools or keys. She would always be so frustrated because I would just sit there in silence for 30 minutes. I don't know how long did it take. It was really excruciating. Just say something that we can proceed. But I didn't know it. And together we learned how to describe how we feel and to listen to each other's hearts. We both changed a lot from that time. It's better now. We can talk about things and it goes quicker, so it's resolved. But the reason we could both grow was our mutual passion for Jesus. Being open for Jesus to change our heart and to shape us to be better for each other and to communicate better. Change. I want to talk about laying down your life. Being willing and able to change. Marriage and family means that you will be shaped by God. Isaiah 64 verse 8, we are the clay and you are the potter. As a Christian, we can expect our character to be refined by fire. It's a process and it changes us, but it changes us to who God wants us to be. We also have to take our sinful nature and bring it under submission to the cross. But we are not only shaped by God, we are shaped by each other. Proverbs 27 says it so well. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And in a relationship and in a family, you get sharpened, or not blunted, but sharpened, right? That's it is, when you think about iron sharpens iron, it's a process of removing small bits of iron on the sides to make the knife sharper and to make it more effective into cutting, right? But it's a painful process. Something is being ripped from you. You are changed, and it is a painful process. But we change to grow better and closer to each other. I do want to say that God reminded me that in some relationships, there is the expectation that we should change a lot. Maybe even too much. And that's what the courting phase is so important. Is we need to find out if what we are doing together, what we are being for each other, sharpens us or changes us fundamentally into something completely different. You started as a knife and now you're a fork. And that was, I mean, I think that's a bit drastic. It requires us to be willing to change and to be shaped by each other. You're also shaped by your children. And yeah, what can I say? Sometimes you just go with the flow. Kids will shape you. There's no deep revelation there. It just happens and you're just surviving. Having a family requires you to make some sacrifices and pursue wholeness. For ladies, you will sacrifice your body and a lot of your time to nurture this child. And for men, you will sacrifice a lot of your time to prepare the physical environment for this child to be nurtured. These are basic things that as a parent you have to think about and know that it's going to require some sacrifice. And after birth, you will be deeply involved in your child's life for at least 18 years. You sacrifice that time of your life that you could have toured the world and had a very successful career, but it's a sacrifice that we need to be kind of wrestle with God and to say that, God, I'm going to give this to you and I'm going to take on this opportunity to build a family and to leave a legacy and to be part of the future generations of people on this earth. The second one is about wholeness. And one of the truths that we heard a lot in our early years in Shofar is that two halves does not make a whole. Two halves does not make a whole. Now, mathematical people, they would say. I'm an engineer normally, so for me, I know that that's kind of a strange thing to say, but we want to come into a family, and now we think that this person will complete me. Have you heard that before? People say that this person completes me. And we come in with this expectation and this idea that when we come into a relationship, then this person would fulfill all the voids and all my shortcomings will be fulfilled by this person. We're coming in half broken. We're coming in, our identity is unsure, and we feel that this person will define us. This love will create something that defines me. And God wants us to be whole. God wants us to be restored so that we can complement each other. And that wholeness is something that you need to pursue. It is your responsibility to take up this invitation from God to become whole, to become the person that you were created to be from the beginning, to allow your spirit man to take its rightful position as the head of your own being, spirit, soul, and body. Not body, soul, and spirit. You need to deal with your sinful nature, your emotional baggage, and your lack of godly character. These are your responsibilities. To wrestle and deal with God and to search for that wholeness until you find that peace and that you can come and breathe the light and breathe the fragrance and be the aroma and to be the priest, prophet, and king, to take the actions to take your family forward. I had God's, in this topic, it's God spoke to me, and that some of us feel that having a family is never going to be. It's not meant for me. And I just felt God saying that to encourage you that if you have a healthy body, you can trust God for a family. can trust God for a family. Stand on that. God, you have created me to be a mother. God, you have created me to be a father. I trust you for my family. But also, if God gave you a desire for a family, you can trust God for healing, restoration, and provision for your family. Trust God to provide for your family. Now, once we have a right attitude and an earnest desire for a godly family, then we can get quiet enough to hear God's will and plan for our family. If we're not quiet to hear God's will and plan, life will happen, and it will be very fast. And then one day, you will realize that you missed an opportunity. We need to prepare our attitudes and carry those desires, those godly desires, so that we can have a peace about, yes, God, this is going to happen. This is part of my life. This is part of my destiny. I can be quiet. I don't have to be anxious about it. I can be quiet and listen to what God wants to tell me. Because God has a plan and a promise for your family. I believe it. I believe he has a plan and a promise for your children, for your intimacy, and for your legacy. For children, we can look at one of the, for your children and your home, let's look at the purpose of this, of the home that you're going to create. And Billy Graham had a very, very beautiful summary. In the home, character forms. If you're going to start a family, if you're going to have a home, God has got some ideals and plans and dreams and hopes and a path for your family to follow. He wants to build the character of everybody in that house, and especially of the children in that house. And you need to pick up that responsibility. Integrity is born. We need to show our children how to live with integrity. The values we live by are made clear. These are our values. These are God's values. And we are going to follow these values. And we are going to trust God in this situation and not take the easy way, because we're going to trust God and these are our values. Goals are set. What is the goal in your family? When was the last time that you talked with your dad about the goal for the family? When was the last time that you talked with your children about the goal for your family? Are you as a family pursuing a goal together? And attitudes are formed that lasts a lifetime. These are profound topics that shape the children in our homes. It shapes the next generation. And there is no place that is more effective to shape a child than in the home. Not in the daycare, and not by a person, not by giving it to someone else. You as the parent need to take up this responsibility to shape your children. God has a dream and a plan for a very deep level of intimacy. And not just physically, but spiritually. And I was encouraged to, or I was, what struck me during our time of courting was, we can pray for our future wife and husband. That was something that I never thought about. Of course, when you're in marriage, then you pray, because then your husband is doing this or your wife is doing that, and then you pray. So it's very clear to pray in your family, because God, can you please help my husband to stop doing this, or help my wife to be more like that? But God, we have the opportunity to already pray for our future husband and wives. You're going to be married one day. You haven't met her, but maybe she's going through a difficult time. Maybe he is having a challenge, or there's a significant life event really, really impacting them. And you can already start to pray for your future husband and wife. Amen? Amen. Even before marriage. Too many times we are so focused on today and the here and now. And if I look at the word, it's full of promises. Promises from God. And what do promises do? They lift up our heads to look beyond the horizon for a brighter future. God's promises lift up our heads to look up for a brighter future. Are your goals for your family just short term? Hey, we've got our holiday planner for the year filled up. Every weekend is activities. Yes, we are ready. Summer vacation is coming, and hotels are booked, or campsites are booked, or, you know, we make very good plans for this year. But we need to pray and listen to hear God's plan and purpose for our family. The eternal purpose of our family, the generational purpose, and the purpose in the body, in this body. Your family can serve a purpose in this church. And we need to trust God to share with us that purpose. And then we need to write it down. Because once we've got this godly purpose, we can transform it into a vision and a mission for your family. I don't know who of you have got a vision and mission at work. Yes, everybody says we have a vision, and this is our vision, our mission, and it's written there. Did you know you can have a vision and mission for your family as well? Maybe a short testimony. We knew this principle of having this vision and mission. And in our house, we chose two words: light and life. Light and life. Just two words, just two short words that we feel capture the essence of what we want to achieve as a family, and what defines us as a family. And we would always speak life, we would cultivate life, and we would help each other to have a full life. And you can see how this vision, or this mission, really starts to, I say it crystallizes our thoughts and our ideas about what we want to achieve as a family together. And our children know what is our vision and a mission. Can I challenge you to sit together in the next couple of days to think about and to pray about your vision and mission, and to write it down, to start praying it, and to start living it? Can I challenge us today to have God deposit that eternal purpose in our hearts, and to start to cultivate it? We need to pick up God's dreams. God has a dream for your family, and we need to actively pursue making that a reality. Now, I know having a family is unpredictable, challenging, and sometimes right out scary. You know, thinking about, oh, I'm going to be a mother and having birth. It's It's a scary reality if you haven't been there. It's also hard work, but I can testify, I've been married over 17 years. I can testify of walking this road with God, of seeing the blessing and the provision and the joy of having a godly family. And in fact, if it wasn't for God's provision and guidance, I don't know how we would have made it. I really am truly thankful for God's word and provision in our lives. So as we looked at some of those topics that you need to think about for your family in the future, and we are challenged by it. It's challenging. It's a big responsibility. Someone else will join their life, will join their whole life purpose and their way and where they stay and where they live. They will join it together. They will be joined together, and two people will pursue this life together. It's a challenge. Responsibility. It's easy if you're just alone to just do what you want whenever you want to. And the effort that comes with raising a child. And these changes and the effort can be quite intimidating, right? But God wants to encourage us. God is with us every step of the way. You can read Psalm 46, verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You are not alone in this journey. God didn't just create you to have a family and said, let's see how this works out. He is intimately involved because he knows that your family will be the source of the next generation, and he has got an eternal soul planned to be your child and to be birthed through you. God is with us every step of the way, and God will provide. God provides for families. You think it's impossible to have a family, and yet our world is full of families and children being raised, and we try to set the standard so high that we have to provide so much material things, and we think it's impossible to have a child. We think that the world is too violent to bear a child. How can we bring a child in this godless world? And yet, when it happens, there is a measure of grace that is released over your life and over your family's life that you cannot even imagine. Because God wants to see your family prosper. God wants to see your family flourish. He wants to be involved and he wants to bless you. This you read in Genesis 22, verse 14. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." Because God, it's part of God's purpose and plan. And together with God, you can prepare, restore, and grow your family. You're literally created for this purpose. But we need to be obedient and follow his path. Later I want to pray for us to commit our family to God. God has got a path that he desires us to follow, but we need to make that decision to follow God's word. It is our responsibility to choose God's will over the ideas from the world that is promoted in magazines about a superficial living together standard that doesn't have any spiritual depth. God wants so much more for our families. And it's sad to me to hear of young women that are so terrified of childbirth, they cannot even think of being a mother one day. And it's something that I see more and more in this individualistic lifestyle without community, that we are, the only exposure we have to the real life is in our YouTube feed, is in the sitcoms and the series we watch. And we miss that community where you see the mother birthing a child and having a newborn and weaning that child. And we as a community are intimately involved in each other's lives. And I believe that is what God calls this church for, is to be a strong knit community where you as a young mother can see how as a mother to be, can see how a young mother is carrying this responsibility. You can see how a parent with young children is helping these kids to grow and nurturing them. We need to be involved as a community so that we can help the generation after us to be prepared for the season that will follow in their lives. And I think that is a real special opportunity we have in this church, is to have this community where we prepare each other for this life. For young women, do you spend time maybe babysitting an infant or a young child? Have you taken a Friday evening and said, no, I'm not going to go to the club, I'm going to give a parent a date night and we're going to watch a baby and clean up its mess and it's going to be messy and dirty and they're going to have a diaper and it's really bad. But those moments prepare you and give you the confidence to take control and to take action for your own life. And young men, I also want to challenge you. Are you spending time with fathers? Are you spending time with older men? When was the last time that you took someone that's much older than you for a coffee and said, hey, can we just talk about life? Can we just talk about the situations I have? Do you have any advice for me? No. We just go for a beer. We just go for a good time. We just watch a movie. God has prepared for you a generation that has already walked the path, and you can reach out to them because we are a community. We are responsible for each other. When we dedicate a child, we as the church take up that responsibility to also help nurture and grow that child. Next time when there is a dedication, please take a special note of what we as the congregation speak towards that family to say, we are going to help you and we are going to support you. And not just, we're going to see how you struggle and then, oh, glad it's not me, you know, like that. You need to have faith in yourself that you can have a family and that you can have a godly family. And I think if we can ask the band to come up so long. I talked about intentionality, this powerful word that combines vision with action. You are going to pursue a godly vision, and then you're going to make an action of that vision to make it a reality, to bring God's purpose for your family into your life. And it takes It takes courage and it takes a big step. But I believe this is so close to God's redemptive plan for us as people. The cross of Jesus Christ carries the same power as it restored and redeemed us, that it can bring for our family a restoration and a redemption. The cross of Jesus Christ was not just for us to have eternal life, but to bring restoration in our life as we know it now. Yes, personally, you know that Jesus died for you. But he also died for your family. Because he knows that there is a godly purpose waiting to be released in your family. You are not an individual in a family. You are part of God's purpose for your family. And our abundant dispensation of grace is given so that we overflow with life and love. When Jesus came and he restored you, he came and he gave you overflowing life, living waters gushing from your heart. And imagine having a family where each member of that family is so overflowing with love that you experience a wonderful, it's almost too incredible to think that you have a whole family, a whole mother and father showering each other with love. Children showering their parents with love. Parents showering their kids with love. It is such a wonderful image for me that God wants to bring his kingdom through families on earth. Having a family means we need to take action. And we're going to go into a time of prayer now where you can search your heart for that ember and that fire that God has placed inside of you for your family. And just as Jacob had to make tough decisions to ensure his family survived, we cannot, as God's children, sit idle and watch our families disintegrate. We cannot. Can we close our eyes? Lord Jesus, we thank you that when you hanged on the cross, you saw each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. And you were excited to see us one day in heaven with you. You were excited to see us share the life and the joy of a life without condemnation, but of freedom and acceptance and in the presence of God. You were excited to see your spirit released across the face of the earth, coming into each and every family and bringing the healing and the restoration and the hope and the purpose that God had not just for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but now for each and every one of us. With every eye closed, can I ask if you feel today that you want to take up this godly calling for a godly family, if you yearn to see God's purpose being established in, through you, and around you in a godly family. Would you raise your hand? Would you say, and would you take this bold step to say that, God, my family will be a blessing to this earth. My family will be a shining light. Lord God, today I proclaim that I will be a source of life and truth in this world, and that I will provide a home and a place of nurture for my children. Is that your desire? Please raise your hand. I want to pray a special blessing for you. Lord God, we come and we are honest about the fact that our life is not our own. But most of the time, we don't know what life we could possibly have, what purpose we could possibly pursue, Lord God. We need your help, Lord Jesus. We need your guidance, Lord God. And we need your hope to burn in our hearts. We need you to fan the flame of excitement and of passion and of hope for one day, Lord God, having a family that will not just leave an inheritance or bring forth the next generation, Lord God, but that will leave a legacy of your kingdom being established and being grown in this world. Amen. If you have a special need of prayer for you and for your family, we are going to offer you some time for someone to pray for you. If you feel that there's something that you want to, that there's a lie that you feel about your family, please come forward that someone can pray for you. If you feel that you cannot imagine it, you cannot see yourself having a family, if you feel that this is so far beyond anything that you can ever comprehend, would you come after the service or during the worship that we can pray for you? God has got a special word for you today to stir our hearts.
In you is all I need. You're my breath, you're my life, you're my everything. In you is all I need. You're my breath, you're my life, you're my everything. In you is all I need. You're my breath, you're my life, you're my everything. In you is all. Love.
Thanks a lot for joining today's service. Officially, we've come to a close of the service. It was a wonderful message. The Lord bless and keep you. There will be coffee afterwards. And enjoy and have a blessed week. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.